I'm Cameron Wilson. You're listening to Bush Telegraph RN and Radio Australia. Many Australians believe that the battle at Gallipoli in World War I shaped the nation's spirit, even if it was a story of Australians dying in a hopeless battle against Turkish troops. And a pilgrimage to Gallipoli for young and old has become hugely popular. So popular that a ballot's being held to restrict the number of people who can go to the 100-year commemoration ceremony in 2015. The Minister for Veterans Affairs has joined us to talk about the ballot and why it's necessary. Michael Ronaldson, good morning.
Morning, Cameron.
I guess Gallipoli's almost in danger of being loved to death, is it? Is that why the need for this ballot?
I don't think we can ever love Gallipoli to death, but we do need to remember that in the First World War, of course, we lost tens of thousands of men on the Western Front. So I don't view Gallipoli as being more important than the Western Front, but I do view Gallipoli as the start of our engagement, and it's a very, very defining moment for this nation, and we should be commemorating it as we are going to do.
Yeah, I was referring to the actual site itself then.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah. How will this ballot work?
Well, the ballot's already open. It opened midnight on the 15th of November. It closes at midnight on the 31st of January. So your listeners have got plenty of time to get into the ballot, and they just got to Google the Gallipoli 2015 on the department's website, and all the details are there. Mm-hmm. We've had about 15,000 applications to date. And can I encourage all your listeners? I'm a Ballarat boy myself, so I love all of us who live outside the major capital cities. But there's about 8,500 veterans, or about 12.5% of the veteran population, living in rural, regional, remote communities. So I do encourage all your listeners to get involved in the ballot, because as you and your listeners know, the First World War took out many of the nation's youngest and finest, and many came from non-metropolitan areas. So there's 10,500 places, mm-hmm. 8,000 for Australians, 2,000 for Kiwis, and there's 500 for official representation. So there's 400 double passes, or 800 passes for direct descendants, with preference to first-generation sons and daughters. 400 double passes, 800 passes for veterans who've got qualifying service or deployed on operations outside of Australia. 3,000 double passes for applicants who aren't either a direct descendant or a veteran. And the Australian government would also be paying for any of those First World War widows who can make what is quite an arduous journey. Mm. The Australian government will be paying for them. There's about 160, which might surprise your listeners, 160 war widows. Yeah. We're not too sure how many at this stage will be able to make the trip.
Okay. Has there been some criticism that descendants aren't getting the bulk of the places?
No, I think people seem pretty happy with it. This was a process that had been announced by the previous government. I think it's probably a pretty reasonable balance. The Kiwis are doing something similar. In fact, they're running the same system through Ticketek in Australia. Mm-hmm. I do hasten to add that this is not going to be a poly fest. The only four MPs that will be going will be the Prime Minister, myself as the responsible minister, the Leader of the Opposition and the Opposition spokesperson. But the Turkish government, obviously, will want a significant representation. They are our very gracious hosts every Anzac Day, and we're expecting a number of heads of government, heads of state to attend as well. Any of those 500 that aren't taken up will go straight back into the ballot for the Australian community.
Okay. Michael Ronaldson's with me, the Veterans Affairs Minister, Federal Minister. Also joining me is Mark Scammell, who's a ballot applicant. Hi, Mark.
G'day, how are you, Cameron?
Good, good. Why do you want to attend?
Oh, look, I don't know. Look, I thought about it 30 years ago. Mm. And the reason I probably thought then, my grandfather was there with the 11th Light Horse. Not that I'd known the 11th Light Horse, you don't hear much about them, because when they went, they didn't get there till the 29th of August. And they were split up between three other squadrons. Well, they had three squadrons. A squadron went to the 2nd Light Horse, B squadron went to the 5th, and C squadron went to the 9th. So you never heard much about the the 11th light horse. And also, when I was a young kid, my grandfather died in 1960 when I was about eight. And I can one of the few things I remember of him was him showing me a bullet in his left forearm. And I managed to get some bit of information off the computer, and it said he had been shot on the 4th of October in the left forearm, and then it just said he didn't leave the line, so obviously it wasn't that bad. He had a bullet in his arm, and they were either short in numbers, and the bullet stayed there for the rest of his life.
Wow. All right. And your family, I understand, still got the war service block.
He was away for 4.5 years, and when he came home, he got a war service block, and that's at Melrose in the mid-north of South Australia, and it's still in the family.
So what would it mean to you if you could attend?
Oh, well, I thought, you know, I always wanted to get there, and one day I was probably going to try and get there, but, now I'm 62 years old. I thought, if I don't do it now, I'll never do it.
Yeah.
I don't like my chances. The only lottery I've ever won was National Service, and that was the first marble out of the barrel. and then the war was over, so they didn't want me anyway.
Minister, there'd be stories like that all around Australia, I'd say, regional towns as well as cities.
Yeah, good morning, Mark. How are you?
Yeah, good, Michael.
Good. I just... you might have had some old Ronnie Tippin engines over your way, I suspect, in the old days.
I did sell a few in my lifetime when I was up on stations.
Yeah, well, the only one without an engine these days is the bloke with the name Ronaldson, so hang on to it. So they're worth a few bob these days.
And bull presses,
yeah. And there'd be a few sad tales about those, I think. They weren't easy to operate. Mark, you've got a reasonable... chance, I would have thought, with the ballot, but I think you reflect a lot of people in rural Australia that, you know, did have grandparents and saw those families leave the farm and saw families absolutely decimated. You go memorials all over the country. I was did a veterans forum at Moonton, whether it's anywhere near Elliston, but we're having a chat to the boys down there and went to the memorial, and you just look at the families that lost sons and brothers and cousins. It's quite an extraordinary contribution that rural Australia made, in fact, to all our endeavours overseas, but that first World War was quite remarkable.
Mm. Mark, if you miss out on the Gallipoli ballot, have you got a plan B?
Look, I'll probably try and get there one day, as long as the ballot's run fairly and, everybody gets a fair chance, you've got to be in it to win it. So, my grandfather, after he got back from Gallipoli, he spent 4 years in the Sirius Sinai. He went through Beersheba, the whole lot. So, but I don't think, at the moment, I don't want to go to Syria.
No, you're probably not alone there. Minister, what are you... there's already twice the number of applicants than there are spaces, so there are going to be disappointed people. What are you saying to those that may miss out and may have a strong family connection and family reason for wanting to be there?
Well, look, my advice is that commemorative period will be running for Gallipoli through until December, obviously, 2015. We are looking at possibly doing something at Lone Pine in early August, which would be a purely Australian affair. So I would say to Mark that to go and do it anyway. I've done it. It is a magnificent experience. It gives you a real eye-opener as to what these fellows went through and the enormous challenges they faced going up when they were shot at from up above. And the bravery is remarkable, and I would encourage anyone, whether they've got family there or not, to go and experience it. Some people say you're better off outside Anzac Day because you get a better idea and there aren't as many people there. But I would encourage Mark to go and do it. I think at 62, he's probably got 20.
Got a few good years left
to make it. But anyway,
well, I'd like to think so.
Yeah. So when does Mark find out if he's had his first win in a while?
But by Anzac Day next year, so that'll give people plenty of time to make bookings. And Mark did quite rightly say, as long as the process is fair, Mark, I can assure you that it is. In fact, I delayed the launch or the opening of the ballot by a fortnight because I wasn't satisfied that all the processes had been appropriately put in place. This is a ballot for the Australian people, not for Pollies and others, and I'm confident now that we've got the ballot process right and everyone will have a fair crack at it.
All right. Minister, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Cameron.
Veterans Affairs Minister Michael Ronaldson. And Mark, I know we tore you away from the cricket, so thank you for joining us.
No, I'm a very busy man. I better get back and watch it.
All right, and all the best in the ballot, Mark.
Okay,
thanks a lot.
Cheers.
Mark Scammell, who's based in regional South Australia and is an applicant for the centenary commemorations at Gallipoli, the ballot that's taking place there. It's open now if you're interested.